Okay, kids, the rest of this service is for you guys. I spent this week reading my Bible trying to figure out what I could teach you this morning about Palm Sunday that you don't already know. So I picked out a big fancy word that I can't pronounce, so I'm going to butcher it all morning long. It's going to be a lot of fun, but we're going to walk through the story of Palm Sunday. Who knows why we celebrate Palm Sunday? Anybody out there? Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Nobody? Nobody? I'll give you a hint. We watched it this morning. Zoe? Do you know why we celebrate Palm Sunday? No? Kyle, do you know why we celebrate Palm Sunday? Oh, nice. I did notice that Jesus was wearing a tattoo on his arm this morning. That was awesome. She came by. Tried to capture that on my phone. Here at the Lighthouse Church, we do not preach that Jesus had sleeve tattoos, but it is nice. Okay, so Palm Sunday is the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Kind of kicks off the week right before he was crucified, where he comes down and everybody's praising him. But what's really cool is this story is seen in all four of the Gospels. So if you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you can read about the triumphal entry. But I want to focus this morning on Matthew because as I was reading all of them this morning, the story in Matthew, there's one little verse in there that hung on to me all week long, and I think that's what we're going to unpack this morning. So if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1, We'll jump right in, and what I'll do is I'll read through the story, and then we're going to go back through here and unpack it a little bit. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. That way I can pray while Ariel's running about the sanctuary. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that it is alive and that it is new and that it's a course by which we can judge what is right and wrong, Lord God, and that you continue to pour it out to us, Lord God, and reveal who you are and your character to us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirring up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." So what stood out to me in this passage that I wanted to jump into this morning was actually right there in verse 10, where it says, When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this? Who is this? Who is this Jesus that we teach our kids about? Why is it that we go through the effort of putting together a skit and parading them around? Who is this? Who is this Jesus that every week we come together, we have communion, and we remember the cross that he died on? Who is he? Who is Jesus?" Question from the crowds, what we're going to look at this morning. But before I tell you who Jesus is, I need to tell you a little bit about one of his attributes. And his attributes means it's one of his characters, one of the things that he is and does and shows us. And so the word that I want to share with you guys this morning is omniscient. Jesus is omniscient. Omniscient. I told you I was going to butcher it all morning. Omniscient. And does anybody know what this word means? I saw it. I saw the hand. I saw the hand. All knowing. Absolutely. Well done. Give a round of applause. Jesus is all knowing. That's what I want you guys to remember this morning. Is there any part of this morning's story or skit that you guys remember where Jesus demonstrated he was all knowing? Did he do something in this morning's skit that would tell you that Jesus was all knowing? There you go, brother. He told them where the donkey was going to be, and he even told them what the owner of the donkey was going to ask and how to respond. Jesus demonstrates, starting in verse 2, when he tells them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Unite them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." There's a couple of other stories in the Bible. Can anybody think of any where Jesus demonstrated that he was all-knowing? What's that? The woman at the well. Told her about her life. Yes, we're going to look at that one. The coin in the fish's mouth. Yes, that's an awesome one. Garden of what? Gethsemane? Yes. Vicky? The temple would be ruined. Tell them where to catch the fish. Throw your nets on the other side. Kevin? When he identified his betrayer, absolutely. Absolutely. Penny? He knew Peter was going to deny him three times. That's one I've got here. We'll read that. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. It says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Now, we have the benefit of being able to read ahead in the story and know exactly what happened, that Peter did deny Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. Yet Jesus was aware of that. He was able to look Peter in the eye and say, "Even before the rooster crows, three times you're going to deny me." Peter stood before him, "No, not I. I know a little bit better than you. I'm not going to deny you." Yet Jesus was right. So two examples about Jesus being omniscient. Everybody say it together for me. Thank you. But I want to show you one more. If you look at John chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to look at the woman at the well here. And so what's going on is Jesus was traveling through Samaria on his way from Judea back to Galilee. And the Bible there in the first six verses tells you that he was tired from his journey. So he sat down next to Jacob's well. And then here's the exchange with this Samaritan woman. Starting at verse 7, John chapter 4. "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" Jesus' response there is so profound. if you knew the gift of God and who was asking you for a drink. Who is this man? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us what the gift of God is. And the gift of God is that we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. This is the gift of God. Jesus' response to this woman is a little redundant because he says, if you knew who was asking you and you knew the gift of God, yet Jesus was both. Jesus was the one who, if we put our faith in, we will be saved and have eternal life. And he was also the Son of God sitting next to her asking for water, the only one who could give living water. Jesus is our gift from God. Verse 11. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus told her, go, call your husband and come back. Verse 17, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you have in your that now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So once again, we see Jesus demonstrating that he is all-knowing. But this time, he's not talking about where to find a donkey. He's not talking about how somebody's going to respond. He's not talking about the actions that somebody is going to take in the future. He's telling this woman her history. History that he could not have known in the moments that he had just met her. Five husbands doesn't happen in the last week. Gosh, I hope not. Five husbands does not, I can say that. Five husbands do not happen in the last week. He's looking at this woman and he knows who she is. He knows what she's done, the history that she's walked through that's brought her to that place. He knows her intimately and he is responding to her saying, I know that the man you're with right now is not your husband. She doesn't question. She doesn't deny. Actually, it was only four. The first one didn't count because of she just simply, that's right. It's true. Jesus demonstrates that he is all-knowing. Why is this important to us? I started with Matthew and asking the question, who is Jesus? And for you to understand who Jesus is, you have to understand that Jesus is all-knowing. Meaning that Jesus knows you and Jesus knows me. And he knows us very, very well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our sin. He knows all of the good, the bad, and the ugly about us. Jesus knows you. We may question and you may run into people in your life who say, who is Jesus to you? You may have seasons in your life where you ask, who is Jesus? But I can promise you, Jesus never asks who you are. He knows you intimately, inside and out. Uh-oh, is right. But that's part of the awesomeness of this story. So let's look ahead here. If you understand that Jesus knows you, now I can tell you a little bit better who Jesus is. Because Jesus is our Savior, who knew who we are in our darkest hour, and he still decided to come. He still decided to get on that donkey and ride in to the cross for you and I. No blanket pulled over his eyes, no trick, nothing going on here. Jesus knew you. Jesus knew me. Jesus knew all of those who were praising him that would soon curse him. Jesus knew those that had followed him that would soon be scattered to the wind. Jesus knew when Peter looked him in the face and said, I would not deny you. He knew he was lying right to his face. Jesus knew all of those things, and he still decided to come. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." And ungodly is a very crucial word to focus in on there, right? Because if you look at Romans 1, verses 18, it says that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven and poured out on the ungodly. When you think of the word ungodly in the Bible, it's what provokes the wrath of God. Yet, we were identified as ungodly. And instead, Jesus chose mercy. And Jesus chose to come still. If you turn to John chapter 8, verse 1, I want to show you who Jesus is. John 8:1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her on the front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" Now, those of us who've read this story, we jump ahead and we're like, oh man, Jesus is so merciful. But just for a minute, stop right there and focus on this. These guys were absolutely in the right by the law that they had in front of them. This woman was caught in adultery, and her sin was made plain before everybody there. According to the law that they had in front of them, they could stone her to death. There was no misrepresentation. There was no, yeah, but you've interpreted this wrong, or what they were told and what they had said, this woman could be stoned. Verse 6. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." This is Jesus. This is the one who rides in on a donkey to the cross for you. This is why we celebrate the cross. This is why we remember Easter. This is why we celebrate Palm Sunday. This is why we take the time to teach our kids this story over and over and over again. Because this is Jesus. He is the one who could have thrown the stone. He is the one who could have condemned this woman to death. He is the one who could have said, "Go ahead." He is the same one that looks at your life and sees the sin that you have. He is the same one that looks at your shortcomings, the time that you blow up, the time that you are not so honest in that situation. Jesus sees all of those. And he is the one that has the right to judge. He is the one who can condemn us. But just like he did for this woman, he doesn't condemn us. He tells us to go and sin no more. He loves us. This is our Jesus. This is the one we celebrate. So we look back at this story in Matthew. And when they say, "Who is this?" the crowd responds and they tell him, "This is the prophet from Nazareth." Jesus is more than a prophet. You will come to a point in your life where you are asked to explain who Jesus is. I promise you this. If you proclaim to be a follower of Jesus, there will be an opportunity in your life for you to tell somebody who is Jesus. My prayer for you is the same prayer that I have, that I don't do him the disjustice of calling him a prophet. because that is not what he is. He is the Son of God. He was the only one who was sent here who could pay for your sin and my sin on the cross. Though some may die for a good man, Jesus died for all of us. Not because we were good, not because we were deserving, but because we were ungodly and we were sinful, but he loved us. And he showed the Father's love for us. That's our Jesus. Behold, he comes riding on a donkey. We sing hallelujah, Hosanna, praise be to the Lord. That's the Jesus we remember. That's the Jesus as we go into this week before Easter that we should meditate on. There are things in our life that we do that we are ashamed of. There are things in our life that we're not proud of. There are things that will distract us from what God's calling us to do. My challenge to you is that we take this week and we focus on Jesus and who he is and what he's done. And we give him the honor he deserves. Amen? Let's pray. Father God.